Turn to Psalm 118 and verse 1. It is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It is almost required that preachers talk about Thanksgiving on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Isn't that kind of the way it works? You got to talk about it a little bit. And I've done, last year or 2 years ago, can't remember right now, I did like a 4-part series on Thanksgiving. And I thought, well, you know, I can piece together a few of those. I mean, you've done a 4-part series. You've said a lot about Thanksgiving already. And God, you know, I was like, God, what do you want me to say this week? And sure enough, he woke me up at 2:00 in the morning, night before last, 2 nights ago, whatever it is. And I got up and I wrote some things down that he put on my heart. And it kind of starts with this Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. God is good. There you go. I knew somebody would do it if I did that. We used to do that a lot in churches. A lot of the churches did it. God is good. And then the people would say, all the time. And then the preacher would say, all the time. God is good. Yeah. See, we used to do that a lot. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We don't have to do the same stuff all the time, but, you know, we used to say that. What's interesting in this verse is that his mercy is directly connected to the fact that he's good. And it's not a common thing in our modern vernacular. We don't talk about mercy a lot. Like, you know, people used to cry mercy a lot. And the reason people used to cry mercy a lot is because justice used to be harsher and swifter than it is today. In fact, it is Christianity that has actually affected how justice works today. And the wheels of justice in this nation, which was, whether they want to admit it or not, founded by a bunch of people who are Christian-oriented, the wheels of justice in this nation are the way they are because of Christianity. And the wheels of justice around the world have been dramatically affected by the way this nation does what it does. And that's why justice is not the way it used to be as far as being as harsh. And a lot of people aren't crying mercy. Now, if you find certain parts of the world where Christianity is very held in very low esteem, if you find certain parts of the world where other faiths, I don't want to pick on anybody, so I won't pick one out, but it wouldn't take you much to think about it, to think about faiths where they have leaders who think it's okay to bring swift judgment and just kill people kind of willy-nilly. Whenever they feel like they need to die, you need to die. In those places, mercy is more well-known, but in our society, well, people don't have to beg for mercy. They have rights. Well, we kind of do. And so mercy isn't as important. So let's make sure that we understand justice and mercy and grace, because those are three things that are thrown around a lot. Justice would be when I get what I deserve. Justice is when I get what I deserve. I get what's coming to me. Mercy is me not getting what I deserve. That is, I deserve this, but I'm not going to get it. The punishment, the swift justice, whatever that looks like, is not going to happen to me. And then there's this other thing called grace. Grace is where I get what I don't deserve. So think about it now. Let's say it again. Justice is where I get what I deserve. Mercy is where I don't get what I deserve. And grace is where I get what I don't deserve. And the fact of the matter is, this country is a country of grace. A lot of people get a lot that they don't deserve. They didn't earn it. But because we are a country of compassion and care, and we don't have this old, ancient, swift justice where you did it wrong, you killed him, off with your head. See, we don't have that kind of justice anymore. It's not harsh. And we do have mercy where we don't get what we deserve. There's a whole lot of people who have murdered somebody in a very heinous way, and they've not received what they did back to them. That is mercy. And sometimes, amazingly enough, they've done something horrible and they get three hots and a cot the rest of their life. That's actually grace if you think about it, because they're getting something they don't deserve. All of us in this room know that Jesus took our place and he kept us from the consequences of our actions. I think sometimes we don't teach this very clearly and we don't think it through completely. Sometimes we think that God wants to give me what I deserve. But I can tell you right now, God does not want to give you or me what we deserve. If he wanted to give us what we deserved, he would never have come down in the form of a man, taken on flesh and died for us. He does not want to give us what we deserve. And no one in this room, oh, I got rights. Listen, don't start throwing that in God's face. I am glad that he has had mercy on me and more. But God didn't save me from his anger. He saved me from my sin and the consequences of what I did. If he was angry that he didn't want me to get that, he wouldn't have given it to me. He wouldn't have given me Jesus. Justice would be me getting exactly what I deserve because of my sin. And God in his mercy not only forgave my sin, keeping me from the consequences of my own actions, but then he gives me grace. It's crazy good. I get to receive a bunch from him that I don't deserve. Wow. Everybody say, thank God for grace and mercy. Because when you get mercy and then grace follows, your life's pretty good. And I love the good life that God has given to me. Now, as I walk with him in the Spirit, he continues to give me grace. And he saves me from things that look good but aren't. Have you ever been saved from something that looked good but it just really wasn't? Yeah, yeah. And more importantly, he reveals his goodness to me every day. Yay, grace. Every day he's giving me not giving me what I deserve, but every day he's giving me more than I deserve. So I have not just been saved from something, I've been saved for something. We say that sometimes, but I wanted to put it right in here so it all links together. I'm going to try to tie all this together today. I hope I do a good job. After all, I did wake up in the middle of the night to write this. But I rewrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it, so I hope I've got it right. This whole message that I'm sharing with you right now is this whole theme or idea is why I'm a proclaimer of the gospel, the good news. When I don't recognize the good, then I can't proclaim it. When I do recognize his goodness, then there should be some manifestation of that recognition in me. Yeah. Something in me should be talking about communicating that goodness. Some manifestation of that should come out of me. I ought to have a smile on my face. I ought to be a happy man. So it leads me to this question. If I am not thankful, is it because I'm not fully recognizing his goodness? If I'm not thankful, is it because I'm not fully recognizing his goodness? You know, we're all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. So do we all preach the good news? Some people think when I say preach, well, they think, oh, that thing you're doing right now, that thing you do up in front of the people where you stand and everybody listens to you, you get a group of people and they hang around and they listen to you. Yeah, well, the most important word preach, in translated preach, in the Greek, in the New Testament, is the word euangelio. And that word actually just means good news. It's the word from which we get evangelism. Evangelism. Preaching like this in front of a big crowd, that's not a thing that any of you should shy away from, and you should ask God how to help you do that if you ever have the opportunity to do it. However, euangelio isn't preaching in front of a big crowd. Euangelio is just letting people know how good God is. Like helping people see good, the good that God is doing. It's just the idea of that goodness manifesting itself somehow through you so that others will know that goodness. What if I told you that when we point out any good news, we are evangelizing? Some of you are going to think, well, no, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I don't know about that, preacher. What if I told you anytime you point out any good news, you're in the evangelistic business? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can agree with that. Okay, let me read you a verse. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If it's good, it's God. If it's good, it started with God. It originated with God. It came from God. If it didn't originate with God, you have to question whether it's really good. So the gospel is the good news of what God has done. And anytime I share something good, God, who alone is good, did you know the scripture says God alone is good? God, who alone is good, is being revealed. If I'm revealing good things, I'm revealing God things. Come on. If it's good, it's got to be God. If I reveal something good, even if I don't say Jehovah or Jesus, if I'm revealing good, I'm helping people get on a good path toward good things. Where does good ultimately take everybody? To God. Because of where good comes from. So when I give a positive report about something good that I see, I'm making room for God to be seen. Because if it's good, it's God. Now, does that mean that everything that I think is good is God? Probably not. Probably not. Just because a gift looked good, just because it's wrapped pretty, doesn't mean it's good. My brother, when he was a young lad, I had a rabbit. And I took my rabbit to 4-H, to the fair, to get my rabbit judged. I want a blue ribbon for my rabbit. I don't know how you win a blue ribbon for a rabbit to this day. I really don't. I had a rabbit. He had a pen out back. I fed him. Got a blue ribbon. Awesome. We never ate him. I don't know what happened to that rabbit. He bit my dad once. He never bit me. He liked me. Yeah, probably what happened to it. Dad probably... I thought we were having squirrel. Heck, not much difference. But my brother had a kind of a thing like we're doing next Sunday night, where they wrapped up gifts, and they were supposed to be gag gifts. Well, his really, really was a gag gift, because I think I've told you this, he wrapped up what he called Mother Rabbit's confections. He got some of the rabbit pellets from underneath the, where it would fall through the cage floor, and he wrapped them up and put them in a in a white candy box, and it looked like it was going to be candy, and the poor girl who won it opened them up, and yeah. Don't do that this Sunday, okay? No Mother Rabbit's confections. I mean, it's okay if you bring something funny, but if the gag gift actually makes people gag, that's probably not a good thing. Just saying. It looked like a nice gift, though. It looked like a good gift. Some of the gifts of the adult Christmas party turn out to be kind of funny, but not of a lot of value. There are gifts out there that probably didn't come from God, I'm pretty sure. And here's the thing. God does a lot of good that he doesn't get credit for. What would the world be like if all that is good was recognized as coming from God? What if all the good in my life, in your life, just this congregation, we don't take up a large segment of the population of Northwest Ohio, but what if we were good news people? And what if we looked for the good all the time and found the good all the time and talked about the good all the time and connected the good to God all the time, so that every time something good was happening, we began to recognize God in it? So if we aren't recognizing that it's good, then we probably don't have the recognition that we need to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. See, this Thanksgiving thing is a great opportunity for us to take whatever good's going on and magnify God with it. Because it is God's, so he should be magnified. And we don't want to miss the opportunity. And in fact, sometimes we are actually the opposite of gospel preachers, of good news preachers. Oops. When I complain, I am not a good news person. The question that I have with this is, who am I evangelizing for? Really, that doesn't work, because evangelism means good news, but let's just take it and just say I'm evangelizing. Who am I evangelizing for when I'm complaining? Who's getting noticed if I'm complaining? You see the problem? I don't want to give the room to the devil. I want to be the one who magnifies God. I'm not saying I've got this all figured out, by the way, because I don't. In fact, just this morning at 5:45 in the morning, we have this wonderful dog named Miss Piggy. We call her Pigsy for short. And she gets a spot on our king-size bed. Usually the spot is by my head or my wife's head or some spot that we don't want her to be in. It's like, push, push. So she usually tries, we try to get her to sleep at the bottom of the bed, but she sneaks up. She likes to lay next to somebody and keep warm, which makes me too hot. But all of a sudden I hear her whimpering at 5:45. She needs to go out. And she has a habit. She gets up, jumps off the bed, and she goes in and gets a drink before she goes out. I guess she figures she needs to load up so she can really do a good job when she gets out there. She goes in, there's a little thing for her in the bathroom right there next to our bedroom, and then I walk her down the stairs. We go all the way out to the back deck, and we have a little deck out there, and then, you know, I let her out the door, and she goes back into the grass. Only this time of year, if there's any snow at all, she doesn't know where the grass is anymore. She can't tell the grass from any other place. And I don't want her to do what she do on the deck. But she did. Peed on my deck. I'm like, dumb dog. And I bring her in. She gets a treat anyway, because I'm a nice guy. Grace. Mercy, I didn't kill her. Grace, I gave her a treat. We go upstairs, and Lisa's like, what'd she do? And I told her, and I said, stupid dog, she peed on the porch. I was not a good news person. Because here's the truth. She didn't pee on the floor. She didn't pee in the bed. I mean, there's a lot of good news here. At least this old dog who's half blind and completely deaf now at 15 years old, at least she got off the bed on her own, went downstairs, and went outside. I mean, come on. She had grace on me. That more than I deserve, probably. And then I decided because it hit me then, after I kind of grumbled to Lisa, it hit me. Complainer, you got to get up and finish your message this morning. You're going to have to add this to your message because, yeah, you got to tell the truth. I haven't acquired this completely yet. I still have those times when I want justice for somebody else. Swift justice, off with their head. I am so thankful that his mercy endures too. It endures to all generations. That's a nice way of saying it goes on and on and on and on and on. His mercy, he's not giving me what I deserve. It hasn't run out yet. It's still there. It's so good. It's so good. So when I have a little pity party, and when I'm whining and complaining, he still has mercy on me, on my pathetic little soul. I am called to be a good news person. We are called to be good news people. So if I am a good news person and I live to share the gospel, the good news, and I walk around looking for the good, thank God, for the God in everything, every little thing, then what should I be doing a lot? What should I be doing a lot? I think I should be giving thanks a lot more than I do. I think I should be looking for things to be thankful for, because I have so much to be thankful for. It's like that little video that we showed. Some of you maybe missed it. There's a little video that we showed this morning at the beginning, and this guy was flipping the light switch, just being thankful that he's got electric lights. He turned on the water. He's just thankful that he's got water. He sees the good. Good. Water, clean water's good. 300 years ago, you'd be walking out to the well in the snow this morning if you wanted clean water. There's so many things that we can be thankful for, and I should be a member of the good news media. Yeah, I know media and good news don't go together, do they? Not usually. Oil and water. Well, let me tell you something. There is a good news media. It's called the church. You're it. You're it. You can give the good news. I know those people are on 24/7 on TV, but guess what? You're on, and when you're awake, you can be a good news person everywhere you go. And by the way, your good news will be much more effective as you share your good news on a one-on-one level with people than that good news on TV will ever be. Because if you're anything like me, you watch that TV and you kind of go, whatever. You've gotten to a point where you only half believe what they say, and you don't even believe the half that you half believe. You know, it's just like, you just, whatever. What would it look like if I constantly talked about God and the good stuff that God's doing? Well, I kind of have been that kind of person. But even today, I'm not that kind of person at the level that I probably could be. And it's not just because I'm quote unquote called. Because remember, I've told y'all, y'all are called. Y'all are called. We're all called. And it gets really easy. Maybe we could learn to catch ourselves. Like, whining and complaining would suddenly like set off a little alarm in your head. I don't know. Maybe we could get a Siri app where when your cell phone hears you complaining, it would like send off a little noise. Oh, yeah. Change my words. When I see good and I express appropriate thanksgiving to the author of all that is good, then I function as his representative, representing him to a world that needs a good God. Do you think the world we live in needs a good God? Yeah, they do. Boy, do they need a good God. We live in a time when people think it's their job to scream and holler about every little thing. Complain. Get in the road. Some people interrupted a football game yesterday so they could complain. Protest. We're not supposed to protest. We're supposed to profess. And if we'd start professing what God is doing, a lot of people might find out that they live in a good world, even though they don't seem to know it. Have you noticed how many people don't seem to know that we're living in a pretty good world right now? Yeah. And if I started down that rabbit trail, we'd be here all day. But I got to tell you, we live in a very good world. Way better than it was. Again, swift justice used to happen. And now we live in a world where people are given due process way more than they ever were in the past. Maybe not enough, but still more than they ever were in the past. Listen, we think of the gospel, and we think of preaching the gospel, and we think of cramming Christianity, our beliefs, down somebody's throat. Let me tell you what the gospel is that every Christian ought to be preaching, and it's not theology that we cram down somebody's throat. It's just letting them know that God is good. I don't have to get them to theologically be correct. Chances are I'm not theologically correct. Not completely. Oh, I got to get them to do this. I got to get them to do that. This is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Just keep telling them the good news. Good news will draw them to God. As they're drawn to God, how many of you know he can probably fix them? If they're not right. And he's still working on me. It doesn't always have to be profound. It doesn't always have to be some amazing. You know, sometimes us just appreciating the little things that God does can be more profound than we realize. Like if I would just recognize all the little things that God does, maybe I would start to be that person. They would go, have you noticed how happy that guy is? Have you noticed how thankful he is? Have you noticed how grateful he is? I don't think there's a way to complain and be thankful at the same time. If anyone can find an example, let me know. If there is any way to complain and be thankful at the same time, it's probably like one example in a million. One in a million shot. So if I'm complaining, it's not likely that I'm proclaiming the gospel. And does that mean if I give thanks that it's the gospel? I'm not sure about that either. Some people can fake thankfulness, pretend to be thankful. But I believe this, a truly thankful heart will be filled with the goodness of God and to learn to recognize the fake and focus on the real, ultimately exalting God and making God known to everyone. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. I just want you to understand this too. If he's withholding it, it ain't good. If he's withholding it, it may look good, it may seem good, it may sound good, it may feel good, but no good thing will he withhold. God is for us. But I'm thankful that he does resist stupid. How many of you are thankful that God resists stupid? Yeah, me too. His resistance to stupid has saved my hide a lot of times. And that's a gift I don't deserve. That's why it's called grace. His resistance to my stupid sometimes is grace. God works hard to keep us all from stupid. And if God is withholding anything, we need to recognize that he is just doing what he does, being good to us. And then if we recognize that he's withholding something and he's being good to us, then maybe we need to give thanks. Sometimes we're giving thanks when it doesn't feel good because we feel like something's been withheld. But sometimes in the process, we need to be thankful. In the process. I don't know if you're as stupid as I am sometimes, but if God deserves thanks for keeping me from stupid, then I probably need to be thankful all the time. I probably need to be thankful like every minute of every day because I'm stupid a lot. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. And when I don't see what I expect to see and it's not working out the way that I think it should be working out, sometimes by faith, I need to be thankful because he is good, because I recognize that he's good, even though I don't know he's good yet. Like, I do know he's good, but I don't know he's good in that thing yet. But that thing that he's withholding from me, that's where it's going to turn out that he was good. And some of you have heard me say this. There were a couple of really pretty young girls that I thought I wanted to marry, and God said, no. And I'm so thankful, because the one that I married was way better. Not that they aren't good people for somebody else, but they would never have put up with my shenanigans like she does. So sometimes we have to learn to be thankful by faith. Just start being thankful. Like, just start saying thanks, even if we're not sure what we're thankful for. Just say, God, I thank you. If he says, what for? Say, I don't know, but I know you're good. I've occasionally been able to be thankful in advance, but I'm still working on that too. But thankful in advance is a good thing. Psalm 37:5 says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I can now quote this verse technically, because the United States government says that I could draw Social Security. So I'm old. I'm an old guy now. Get off my lawn. You know, there have been a few times, like I said, when I thought God wasn't being good to me. And I found out, I've watched now, I've been a Christian for a long time, since I was 14 years old. So going on 50 years here shortly. And he's always been good to people. And a lot of people have complained that God wasn't good to them. And then they turn around and see that the thing that God withheld from them was so good. And they're so glad when they get down the road and they can look back. Any of you got that testimony? You got down the road, you look back and you went, oh my goodness, I dodged a bullet right there. Yeah. You don't really have to get to be this old to know this. But, you know, I am old, or I was young and now I'm old and I know this. So again, by this time, I ought to be more thankful. I ought to be more thankful than I used to be. Because I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. He will establish us, but he won't establish us in stupid. For our sakes. That's just who he is. So it would be wise to forsake anything that is not good, because it's not God. So I want to give you a goodness test as we finish here. I want to give you a goodness test. You ready? Start thanking God for something. If you find yourself feeling more and more thankful as you give thanks for that thing, that situation, if you find yourself getting more and more thankful, you'll start to see God in it. And you'll figure it out. But if you find out that you can't be thankful for it at all, even though you want it. Now, I'm not saying something you don't want, by the way. If there's something you don't want and you're like, well, I can't be thankful for that. That must not be God. Well, maybe God wants something you don't want. Again, you know, my wife said, we'll never move from Southern Ohio, right? She didn't want to. Now, she loves it here. We love it here. But if we start thanking God and it gets a momentum on it and we start giving him thanks, then we start to see things from his perspective. And as we start to see things from his perspective, our thanksgiving grows. And as our thanksgiving grows, we start to get connected to the good that God has for us, which is always better than any good we can think of on our own. In fact, I don't think there's anything good you can think of on your own, because only God is good. Is it making sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. This week would be a great week for us to practice giving thanks ahead of time, and giving thanks right on through the weekend. And if you try to give God thanks and you can't give God thanks, you want it the worst way, but God doesn't have it for you, you'll probably recognize it a lot quicker if you just walk in thanksgiving and live in thanksgiving. So, be the one who's full of thanksgiving.